Tonight we'll be in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 5. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God was pleased. Solomon received what he asked for, and he received more. Wisdom comes from the knowledge, the understanding by which we receive when we dig deep and focus and meditate on God's word. The blessings of his word already have been written down for us in black and white and has provided us all that we need as Christians to follow and obey. There's no such things as gray areas, questionable statements, nothing written down in black and white to be doubted or debated, just accepted. For God's word is truth, it says in John 17:17. God's word is pure. You'll find that in Proverbs 35. And his word is a living and powerful word that's sharper than a two-edged sword in Hebrews 4:12. So before we go on, let's go to Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you that you bring us here safe and sound. It's a blessing that you keep us from harm's way. Father, that you've given us the heart, that the desire to come before you, to be able to receive the nugget that has been placed in messages for each and every one of us. May this night provide a night that you will open our ears. Open our ears, Father God. Soften our hearts that we can come to an understanding how we are to be. From the leading of the Holy Spirit within us, Father, may we be obedient to its calling. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. We do have it easy. It's all written down for us in black and white. And it's all here. It's all here. It's all we need. And like it's been said many times before, that the word, the book that we seem to ignore other than on Sundays sits on the back window of our car, on the coffee table, and other places. We find ourselves at times that when we do come, especially for a Wednesday service, that service is to bring us back to from almost a half empty, hopefully to at least a half full. That way, as we're armed with the armor of God, that we can draw from that recharge for the remaining part of the week until we come together again. It's all here in black and white, and it hasn't changed for over 2,000 years. I might say that it still hasn't changed for 2,000 years, and it's counting. Our manual for us to use and to live by in black and white. Now, the somewhat detailed description, now in 1 Kings, in the last chapter that we went through, chapter 4 of Solomon, it was Solomon's splendor, his power, and his wisdom. Now, followed in the next chapter, in chapter 5, which we'll be listening on tonight, gives an account of what Jewish eyes was the greatest undertaking of his reign, and indeed the great glory of Hebrew history. The erection and the adornment of the temple of God. This was largely due to the assistance he received. both in the shape of materials and from the laborers, from the Tyrian king. So it goes in chapter 5, verse 1. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him in the place of his father. For Hiram had always loved David. He did love David. Solomon's good relations continued with the Phoenicians, which added prosperity of his kingdom. The name Hiram is probably an abbreviation of Ahiram, which means my father is exalted. A royal name known in Phoenician inscriptions, Hiram, king of Tyre. Besides having a good relations with Hiram, Solomon had access to an important port city along the Mediterranean Sea, north of Israel. Then Solomon in chapter and verse 2 said to Hiram, saying, "You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord, and has God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet." Now Hiram, king of Tyre, was the son of Abibel. He was said to ascend the throne at the age of 19. He reigned for 34 years in that country. In that country, and died at the age of 53. By the way, Hiram's reign had obviously overlapped King David's and King Solomon's. For 9 years of King David's reign, Hiram was king. And for 24 years of Solomon's reign, Hiram was king. So his reign overlaps the reigns of the two Judean kings, David and Solomon. In verse 3, "You know how my..." Oh, I read that already. And verse 4, "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence." Hiram should have already known back in verse 3 that God would not allow David to build the temple. His relationship with David had been close and intimate. Not only had he sent cedar trees, carpenters, and masons to build David's house, but also had brought much cedar wood to David for the house of the Lord. The fulfillment of the promise which David had is in brief rest, Solomon's was permanent. No evil occurrences, plague, rebellion, famine, pestilence, sufferings, where David had many such occurrences during his reign. "My God has given me rest on every side," he says, "so that there are neither adversaries or evil occurrences." Amazing to have a stent like that. To have a stent like that, that you would have in your country during your reign as king, as a leader of the country, where you have no worries, no concerns, and just time growing in peace, growing in economy, growing in prosperity. Verse 5 and 6. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name. Now therefore command that they cut down cedars for me in Lebanon, and my servants will be your servants, and I will pay your wages for your servants according to whatever you say. For you know there is none among us who have or who has the skill to cut the timber like them, like the Sidonians. David was not allowed to build a temple, we know that. But he did do something in the preparation of the building of the temple. He drew plans. He put them together, all and given all to his son Solomon. Can we turn to 1 Chronicles, please? Chapter 28. We'll read verses 9 to the end, and then verse 29, 1 to 9. If you just want to follow along. 1 Chronicles 28, 9 to finish. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. 11. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for the dedicated things. Also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service, also silver for the articles of silver by weight, for the articles used in every kind of service. The weight for the lampstands of gold and their lamps of gold by weight for each lampstand and its lamps, for the lampstands of silver by weight for the lampstands and its lamps, according to the use for each lampstand. And by weight he gave gold for the table of the showbread, for each table, and silver for the tables of silver, also pure gold for the forks, the basins, the pitchers of gold, and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl. For the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl. And refined gold by weight for the altar of incense and for the construction of the chariot, that is, the gold cherubim that spread their wings and overshadowed the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It says this in 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor dismay, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. until you have finished all the work for the services of the house of the Lord. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the services of the house of God, and every willing craftsman will be for you for all manner of workmanship, for every kind of service. Also, the leaders and the people will completely be at your command. Continuing in chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, King David said to the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for the things to be made of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, red set, glittering stones of various colors and kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affections on the house of my God, I have given to you the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. My own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, pure, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things for silver and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of the craftsman, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord." Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jael, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because they, with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Now, interesting enough to say that the cedars of Lebanon, or I should say for the might of the sparingly patches of forest left, they are some of the most impressive trees in the world. It's a hardwood, enduring and fragrant wood and resisting to rotten bugs. Some of the trees have lasted for over 600 years and grown up to 130 feet. They grow for a long time. So, say you were going to plant one to make sure that you document it, make notes of it for future generations. We'll have a record of its inception. So today, only a few areas left where they are found. They've been cut down in iniquity by the pharaohs, wood for ships, used by David and Solomon, as well as Turks, Brits, and by the Romans. So the cedars of Lebanon are small in pockets in the uppermost mountains in Lebanon. And what's left is protected now by UNESCO. Okay. It's as a World Heritage Site, and UNESCO as a United Nations and Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. I don't know, I couldn't find anything for like our historic places, our national forests, monuments, and things, if they are under any sort of protection. But there is availability that if you're wanting to put something into that, the hosting country has to request the organization to see its significance to what you're asking for. Just a thought. These irreplaceable cultural, historical, and natural sites are legally protected by the international treaties and belong to all humanity. UNESCO. Now in verse 7, back to verse 7. Ooh, it's hot. So it was, when Hiram heard the works of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people." Then Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, "I have considered the message which you have sent me, and I will do all you desire concerning the cedars and the cypress logs. My servant shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by the sea to your place of choice, indicate to me, and I will have them broken apart there. Then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire from giving food for my household." Okay. Talk about impressive. The Lebanon tree may grow to the upper height of 130 feet, I mentioned, and maybe have a lifespan of 600 years. Hey, what about what we have? Just saying, our Sequoia National Forest. No, not the Sequoia Toyota, but the forest. Sorry, I had to put that in there. The largest tree by volume. Oh, I'm sorry. The Sequoia, as in General Sherman, hosts the largest tree by volume. And the Coast Redwood, which is 379 feet tall, is 2,000 years old. Oh, and I wrote down here, I didn't mention General Sherman, the largest living single-stem tree on Earth by volume, located in Sequoia National Park. I wrote down here its height, which was 275 feet, and weighs over 2 million pounds. Now, I don't know how they were able to do that, if they dug it up, lifted it up, put it on a scale, and then put it back in. I don't know. The general is estimated to be about 2,200 years old. To be the safest calculation that was recently made by a scientific study. And interesting, we also have the ancient bristle cone, which are much older, reaching to 4,000 to 5,000 years of age. That's a long time. The last bit of the general, sprouting was around 700 BC to 300 BC, was already a mature, centuries-old tree during the rise of the Roman Empire and the construction of the Great China Wall. Just a little bit of history. I'd say that's pretty impressive. Now, I want you to remember, though David would not be the one to build the temple, it was still in his heart and desire for the Lord. Just say what he was to have was to be the best. With no shortcuts, no scrimping, for it was for the Lord. Now, David collected gold, silver, took up offerings among the people of Israel, and was to be stored in a treasure chest to be used by Solomon for the building of the temple. The timber of cypress and cedar trees would be placed on boats, floating the wood where it was designated, and it ended up probably at the port of Tyre, down the Mediterranean coast to the Sea of Joppa, which was the Old Testament seaport in the biblical times. Today you can visit Joppa, which is just south of Tel Aviv. You can actually go there and see Jonah get on the boat. You can see Jonah get on the boat to flee from the presence of the Lord. And I say that, you know, that we put that in our mindset, that in even walking the streets where Jesus walked, where Thomas stepped in the water, like Peter stepped in the water, all those, if you were to even get to the place where John the Baptist did his baptizing in the water and step in the water, to have that imagination of that time, how many years ago? Verse 10. Then Hiram gave Solomon cedars and cypress logs according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20,000 cores of pressed oil. Thus Solomon gave to Hiram year by year. Then Hiram gave Solomon cedar and cypress logs according to all his desire. Solomon gave 20,000 cores of food of household and 20,000 cores of oil, extra virgin olive oil. That's some expensive stuff. The needs for both kings were met. This was Hiram's whole household, staff, and servants. Thus Solomon gave year by year. Solomon is going to pay the workers as well to do the work from Lebanon and Israel. But this is just a sort of extra personal honorarium, which is, like I wrote down for the definition, payment that is given normally without charge, that he was giving to the king, showing the extra measure of gratitude and thanks that he's given to the king for making this deal, the appreciation for helping Solomon out. Now, there's a lot of things that is not included in presenting a message or a teaching. There's a lot, if you were to write down word for word, verse for verse, scripture for scripture, then we'd be here for a while. But to get the general gist of what is happening, what is being led to, and what the results are. Verse 12. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him, and there was a peace between Hiram and Solomon. And the two of them made a treaty to get together. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, it says, and he had promised him, and there was peace between the two kings. They made a treaty. Now you have to recall, Hiram was a Gentile king. Solomon was a Jewish king. and both of them together, with treaty in hand, came together building the house of the Lord as one, a Gentile and a Jew, building a house for the Lord, working on it together as a joint project. And now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start off from verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called by the circumcision, made in flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who have made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of Christ, of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Verse 13. Then King Solomon raised up a labor force out of all Israel, and the labor force was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They were 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the labor force. Solomon had 70,000 who carried burdens, and 80,000 who quarried stones in the mountains, besides 3,300 from each chief of Solomon's deputies who supervised the people of the labored, who labored in the work. All total, it took 183,000 men to build the temple. 183,000 men to build the temple. It took them 7.5 years. It took them up to a 7.5 year period. Here mentioned both Jew and Gentiles work together in one accord, building a temple. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 9 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 to 17. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Let no one deceive himself. Anyone among you seems to be wise in his age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world's foolishness with God is world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. Here Paul brings up an important point. Today, now, in the Old Testament, yes, there was a physical temple where the people went to worship. Solomon built it. Zerubbabel rebuilt it. Herod expanded it. An actual temple today. God does not dwell in temples made with the hands. God dwells in the people made by God, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's not individually. Like, you're a temple, and you may be a temple, or your own little temple. Altogether, we are one temple of God. That's the idea, that's the body of Christ. The church is a temple composed of living stones. The point in this is that you are all building. You're building, or you're around and just listening and just watching others, people build. You may ask yourself, how are we to build? How do we build? You build by discovering your gifts, your talents. Your time. The treasure to help build the kingdom of God. To be used to help build the treasure of the kingdom of God. That's why whatever we do for the Lord should be done with excellence. It shouldn't be shoddy work. We shouldn't say, oh yeah, this is just for God. There's a beat up couch we don't need anymore. We've used it all that we can do. Let's donate it to the church. It's for the Lord. Let's just donate it to the church. He can have it now that we've gotten all the use out of it we need. I've gotten all the good life out of what we can, so we can give it to the Lord. When lambs were being selected for sacrifice, they had to be without spot or blemish. God wanted the best. I think we should give God the best of the best. No matter what we are called to do it for Him, unto Him, for Him, and to give it our all, our best. So for the laborers, a month in Lebanon and two home, that is to say 4 months out of the year, was not bad at all. How about this? Can anybody ever think being away from your family for 9 months? That's over three quarters of the year. Can you imagine to begin, can you begin to imagine the changing of the family dynamics that it takes? That as you were two, now you're one. The havoc it would place and the burdens for all upon the reunion of that second individual. For what you have done, managed to do, and accomplished by yourself is now again having to change. And instead of thinking as of one, you have now have to readjust. You're not alone anymore. You're back to two. That was me. That was Myra. And that was a few times, not just once. I think 9 months was the longest of separation. So the laborers for Solomon and Hiram had to do this for only 7.5 years, 1 month out, 2 months in. For them, there might not have been quite the hardships. This too has to be mentioned, that the workforce for Solomon, the 150,000 destined for the more of the laborers, the harder work, the menial task, they weren't Israelites. They were Canaanites. From 2 Chronicles 2:17 to 18, that all the strangers that were in the land of Israel were subject to forced labor by Solomon. They occupied a very different position than from the 30,000 workers that were Hebrews. None of the latter were reduced to bondage, while the former had long been employed in servile work. There were the chiefs of Solomon's officers, princes of overseers, princes who acted as overseers. This is worse than all the names from the previous books. Chiefs of the overseers, superior officers, the subordinates, superintendents. We get the picture, there was a lot of chiefs. But I figure as we read on that it was quite necessary because, again, having to tend and watch over 150,000 or more scattered all over the place doing different types of work as a task force, thousands upon thousands of individuals that had to be overseered by someone. Verses 17 and 18. If anyone defies the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. Anyone among you seem to be wise in his age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. What am I reading? I don't know. Rufino? 18. What did I read? 17, 18. Oh, man. Are you all there? Sorry. And the king commanded them to quarry stones, large stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the temple. So Solomon's builders, Hiram's builders, and the Gibeonites quarried them, and they prepared timber and stones to build the temple. There's a lot that can be mentioned about quarrying. It was not a simple and easy task. It was quite laborious. To cut wood, timber logs as big as supposedly the Lebanon trees were, what kind of utensils did they have? He said it was especially during the times of Solomon. And to some, it might be quite intriguing because, as I did read, the processes that they were using and doing was amazing. Now, if you were to think back of Egypt and the pharaohs in the time of building the pyramids, think back. Imagine. Gaius Pilinius Secundus was a Roman author, a naturalist, a scientist. His name to be known in English as Pliny the Elder. Well, Pliny had written down, just to give you an idea to the gravity at this type of work. The work needed to be accomplished before even being able to construct a temple. Pliny, P-L-I-N-Y, tells us that no less than 360,000 men were employed for 20 years to build one pyramid. It's written somewhere in my references that the stones probably came from Lebanon, but to imagine stone by stone to be cut, hewed, and finished, traveling the distances to wherever they were building the pyramid, hauling that, lifting it, rising it up to however the height of the pyramid is. It's just in awe of the accomplishments that they did with not what we have today. Comfortably, we could say it had not taken that long at all for us if we had the equipment we had today. Imagine how many pyramids we could build. In closing, we need to think about Hiram's teaching and how in this teaching that we should fairly consider, I will say, instead of demands, the request made by others. As the request Solomon of Hiram, the request of Solomon was bold. It will require the sacrifice of the Tyrians. They were asked to help in building the temple for another nation. And for worship of one, that was capital O-N-E, who was to them a strange deity. No prejudice, however, interfered with Hiram's fair consideration of Solomon's request. As it was more fully understand, as it was more fully understood, I emphasize that once we learn or come to the point that we have a better understanding of things, that it seems to be or always comes to a feasible acceptance. How often prejudice prevents men from looking at a novel scheme for work, from welcoming a new expression of old truth. A false patriotism sometimes refuses to see any excellence in any other people or persons, ideas, or statements. There is much presented to us which we cannot at once welcome, but at least it should be fairly considered. Prove all things and hold fast to which is good.